eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the first and second chapters. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. The psalm this morning is Psalm 49, verses 1 to 12, which we will read together. Hear this, all you peoples.
Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of my persecutors surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give to God for it. For the ransom of life is costly, and can never suffice. That one should live on forever, and never see the grave. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together, and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they name lands their own.
Mortals cannot abide in their pomp.
They are like the animals that perish.
The second lesson this morning is from the book of Colossians, the third chapter. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Here are the readings.
Thanks be to God.
someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite any children who are here to come forward for a message with me on the steps. Whoa, you're so fast. I'm going to talk about Disney, so if you want to come up. That's okay. He'll come where he won't. Oh, he's coming. See, I knew that would get him. I knew it. So I have a question for you all. Come close so I can see your faces. So I'm wondering, who here likes Disney?
I like Disney.
Anyone out there like Disney? Ooh, me too. And so when I was reading our gospel lesson today about this guy who has all this stuff, I thought about a Disney movie. Do you know what this Disney movie is? No?
It's Little Mermaid.
It is. It's Little Mermaid. And you know the Little Mermaid? She sings a song. She goes, "Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl? The girl who has what?
Everything.
You're right. She's got gadgets and gizmos and thingamabobs. Yeah. Who's its and what's its galore? She's got everything that she needs. But you know what she says at the very end? She says, "But who cares? No big deal. I want more." Right? She wants more. She wants to be where the people are. That's right. Like people, right? What's more important? Things and stuff or people?
Jesus.
Well, Jesus is the most important. You're right.
And not even power, Jesus.
You're right. And did you know that that's exactly what the Bible is telling us today? The Bible is telling us today that it's not about things and stuff and who's its and what's its and gizmos and gadgets, but it's about Jesus. We're supposed to put our minds on things that are above. Things like our relationships with our moms and our dads and our brothers and our sisters and our cousins and our grandmas and our grandpas and our friends and our enemies, right?
Yeah, best friends.
Yeah. And maybe we're supposed to like use our stuff to help others. Do you think maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So next time when you hear Ariel singing this song about all this stuff she's got, remember that she wants more, right?
Yeah, like people.
And Jesus wants more for us. Yeah. You're right. You know the whole movie. That is absolutely right. So that is my little reflection for you guys today. So remember that, okay? Yeah, you did, because that one's your favorite. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Yeah, those are pretty cool, too. Ooh. Walt Disney, right? All right, please pray with me. Almighty God, teach us to let go of things and stuff, to treasure the important stuff, each other and all of your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This week has been extremely hard for me. It's not just that I have to pack up all of my stuff and say goodbye. It's that I'm packing up my life and I'm saying thank you and goodbye to a community that has and will continue to influence my ministry forever. Ask any of my friends or family, you can ask my mom later. They will all tell you that this week when they've called up and said, "Hey, are you excited to come back home to Minnesota?" I've countered them with this litany of dread. How I'm not looking forward to saying goodbye. That I am really excited to go back home to Minnesota to experience four seasons, to see them, but that I'm devastated to leave this place. But before I get emotional, that's for later. I want to get back to the part where I have to pack up all of my things. There I am in Minnesota with my car. You can't really see, but it's packed to the brim of all the things that I brought out here. And so in the next day, my car will look very similar as I take the drive back. I don't know if you've ever tried to pack all of your belongings in a Mazda 3 hatchback, but it's like Tetris you have never seen before. It is getting this much stuff into a place this big. And I jokingly have told my mother that if we can't fit it all in the car, that we are going to put her on top of the car as we drive down the road. And I think that's a little bit about what our gospel lesson is getting at this morning. It's what I tried to share with the kids in the children's message about the Little Mermaid. It's really funny to think of my mom strapped to the top of the car. But it's also a little backwards. My stuff isn't what's most important to me. She is. Both of our readings this morning, our gospel lesson and Paul's letter to the Colossians, are about changing our priorities. And that's a hard thing to do. We're changing our priorities from earthly things and trusting instead in God's grace. So I'm going to touch on two things, trust and grace. It's all about our problem with stuff. And I think you can all agree that we've got too much stuff and that our stuff has become way too important to us. First, let's discuss how stuff affects how and what we put our trust in. I don't know if you all were listening, but this text about a man who, by all American standards, is successful seems a little condemning. I mean, it sounds silly to us that this man, who is clearly responsible in business, he's saved his money and his goods for the future, is called a fool by Jesus. But Jesus, that's the responsible thing. He's saving for the future. Especially here in California, when at a moment's notice your rent can change and then you're out on the street, or you need help from all of those services that we help support, like Patriots and Paws and His House. Or maybe you experience a sudden change in health or a job change. We need a rainy day fund, right? I think that the point that Jesus is making here is not to not relax and eat and drink and be merry. Jesus isn't saying we're not supposed to do the responsible thing and save. Rather, Jesus is pointing out all the me, and the I of this guy, right? If we go back and we reread some of the things that this man is saying, he says, then I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, right? Well, whose is our stuff? Who are we? This man has put all of his trust into what he has made for himself, and he doesn't have any gratitude for the gifts that God has given to him so that he can acquire some of this success. In one of the stories that I read, the commentaries about this text, there was a pastor who said, in the last moments when he's visiting with people before they die, not once has he ever heard, you know, I wish I hadn't given so much away. I wish I would have kept more for myself. Right? We never hear that. Our possessions and our lives are not our own. They belong to God, and we are merely stewards of them. Any other way of looking at it is idolatry. We're putting our trust into things and stuff and money instead of in That's not to say that I have this all figured out. I mean, remember my car that's full of all this stuff and that my mom's going to ride on the top? The ability to release our trust in things, in money, and in success is a hard thing. To place our trust in God is a hard thing. And we rebel against this truth because we want to be in charge of our stuff. And even more, we want to be in charge of our lives. We want to be in control. Because at the end of the day, we have this fear that we're not good enough, that we're irredeemable, that our mess is just too much. So we hide it under piles of stuff. If the mountain of my stuff is big enough, then I can hide behind it. I can hide behind all of my insecurities and appear as though I have it all together, right? I'm talking about the stuff in my car instead of actually having to say goodbye. Because we aren't concerned with the important things, but rather getting the latest and greatest new things. The increase in books and TV shows. Let's see if we can look here. Here's some TV shows. Hoarding, Divine Design, I like that one. This newest craze of getting your clutter decluttered, of organizing your life. I like that middle book, Stuffocation, right? This is super popular. And the latest of which is Marie Kondo's Tidying Up, if you've seen that on Netflix, right? We're obsessed with this idea of cleaning up our mess, of our clutter, of getting rid of our stuff. And it strikes me when watching these shows or hearing about people who are doing decluttering of their own that often they're in transition. They're adjusting from what life was or used to be into what life will be going forward. For me, it's the move from California back to Minnesota. For someone else, it might be a loss of a family member, or moving away to college, or for others, it might mean that you need more care, or that your family has outgrown your home, or you're retiring, and so you want to live in a more fun place. Maybe the transition isn't even about moving. Maybe it's for better health, less stress, better focus on relationships. So what is it about our stuff, this literal stuff that I have to pack in my car and move across the country? The it's all mine and I can do this all myself mentality. I think it sounds a little bit difficult. I think it'd be much nicer if I could just put my trust in God. I would like to trust God more and experience a little more grace, which moves me to my second part, which is to emphasize grace. While teaching the confirmation students about grace, I found this really wonderful article in The Living Lutheran, and it's about Marie Kondo's tidying up and about what her show can teach us about grace. The article read, "Unfortunately, we cannot tidy our way to redemption. No matter how many times we declutter our homes or prepare for a big move or a life transition, inevitably the mess returns. Similarly, no matter how many times we repent at the communion table, we are bound to sin again. Created in God's image, we are restless until we find rest in God. So often, we look to self-help books and life coaches and gurus for rescue, saying, 'Help me out of this mess.'" I think the author of this article was right. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus isn't saying, "I care about how much stuff you have." I really don't think Jesus cares. Jesus is saying, "I care about how much you care about your stuff and how little you care about me." Jesus is saying, "Let go of control and trust in me. I see your mess and I love you anyways." We don't need a Netflix series or a new self-help book or a life coach to help us out of our mess or to save us from our stuff. We need Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Colossians this morning, he reminds us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. He says, "Clothe yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed according to the image of its creator." God sent Jesus to save us from our mess, to save us from our sin, so that in the midst of our messiness and throughout our life, and especially as we transition into new things, we can keep our minds fixed on what is above. Then we aren't worried about what is the latest and greatest gadget and gizmo and who's it and what's it. We aren't worried about our own salvation even, because Jesus took care of that. If we aren't worried about stuff or salvation, then what? Then we're free to care for this world that is in need of us. We talked this morning about all of the hurt that is in our country after these two shootings. So, as I complete my time here at Emmanuel, and I pack up my things for my trip back to Minnesota, I want to say thank you for all of the important things you've shared. Not just for my full apartment that was perfectly furnished, not for the stuff, but for the stuff that was really important. The love that you shared with me, your love for me, your love for each other in this place, and your love for Jesus. Your willingness to serve and try new things, to accept Vicar Matt, to encourage him in his growth and learning. And know that as I go from this place, I will take pieces of this place with me in my heart forever. I will be a far better pastor because of my experiences with you all here. So remember, don't be a fool. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.